John chapter 20. This morning I preached on the resurrection. And tonight I'm going to preach on what happened that evening, that first day. Look here in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I just pray that you would just use this message to encourage us, help us to stay faithful, to be a witness, to try to share the gospel with other people. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't lose focus of that. Just keep our heads around us, keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name, amen. So if you think about, if you look back in chapter 20, verse 1, you can see first day of the week. I meant there is a first day. This is the resurrection day. This is the day that Jesus arose. And here it is at evening. Do you ever think about it as church? You know, why do we come to church on Sunday? Because then you think about it in the Old Testament, you know, it was the Sabbath. It's because he arose, right? We are no longer under the law. Matter of fact, Matthew parts it at the end of the Sabbath, as began to dawn upon the first day of the week, right? So if you think about, then what we could see is on that first evening, they were gathered together. And here it was, the Lord showed up. You know, the Lord is here this evening. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, right? He's in the midst. He's here. Amen. You think about it, it's a wonderful blessing to know that God is here. And as they were waiting there, right? So if you have to imagine, again, all the things that happened that day, right? There was still some confusion in their minds, maybe some anxiety, fears. They didn't know what was going on, even though people told them. By this account right here, when the Lord met them, remember there was two on the way to Emmaus, and that's where Jesus met him and then ultimately came back. So what we could see is, you know, there were people to say he arose. The ladies told him, hey, he's alive and he's well. And here it was, after hearing all these things, there should have been rejoicing, and there was some, they were glad in verse 20. But God also told him that first day, even though the sins are paid for, I'm not done. There is work to be done. I want you to continue doing something for me. And that's what he said at the verse 21. Even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. God gave a commission to them, a great commission. And that great commission to the disciples was that as God the Father sent God the Son down here onto this earth to sacrifice himself, to try to reach people for himself, now he's saying, I'm sending you. I have a job for you to do. This is the commission that was given to the local church. And can I tell you that even though it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead, that great commission that God gave 2,000 years is still for us today. We can never lose focus, or should never lose focus, for what God has told us to do. He's giving us an opportunity. When he says that last part, Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now the Catholic Church will use this and say, aha, we have the authority to forgive you of your sins or not forgive you of your sins. Well, you have to take the Bible in contents. You can't just take one verse and take it out of contents. Because if you go back here to the book of Luke, chapter 24, in Luke 24, we won't read about the two on the way. Emmaus that met Jesus on the way. But if you pick up here at verse 33, in Luke 24, verse 33, here it was as Jesus revealed himself unto those two men, they realized who he was. Now he runs back to the disciples, where we picked up in John chapter 20, when the disciples were there and the Lord showed up. Now you have to, here it is, these two men are going to the disciples to tell the disciples, it is true. He is alive. We are witnesses. We've seen him with our own eyes. And that's where we pick it up in verse 33. And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Right? So there was the 11 that was there. There were others that were there saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. You know, this is a free note. If you look at that, he, somewhere, even though we don't see where it is, he appeared to Simon, Peter. And Peter still had a hard time, right? Sometimes we beat ourselves up, amen, and that's what he did. But anyway, saying the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as he thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. So you could see these verses are added together. But they were terrified and frightened, supposing they had seen the Spirit. He said to them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have, right? So there's a cult, one of the cults believed that Jesus rose just in the spirit, not in the actual body. If they would just read their Bible, they would see their false cult is Rome. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Remember, Thomas wasn't there. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they sent him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And so anyway, when I go to McDonald's after church and I get fish, I'm just like my Lord. All right, so just remember that, amen. So anyway, I don't know if I'm going tonight, but where are we at? Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms concerning me. There were so many prophecies in the Old Testament that foretold of Jesus Christ and what he would do, that he would die for us, be our sacrifice, raise again. Then opened he their understanding that the scripture, that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47 links up to John, what those verses are. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So what he was saying in the book of John, and you link it up here to the book of Acts in verse 47. What he's saying is you have an opportunity and you should go and preach the gospel and tell people they're a sinner. They need to repent and tell them they could be forgiven of their sins. What he was kind of telling the disciples, how I take it, linking it together, he was saying, if you fail to do your job of telling, if you don't tell people they can be forgiven of their sins, well, they're still going to live in their sin. If you don't share the gospel with someone, how is someone going to know they need Jesus Christ? You have the answer. And that's what he was telling the disciples. And that's what we see here as the great commission that was given. He says, and ye are witnesses of these things. I mean, he gave those apostles, he gave the disciples a charge. And what was that charge? You need to go and tell people about me. Can I tell you that charge is still in effect today? You and I need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Wasn't that a wonderful blessing yesterday? You had some kids that came in, and it may have been the first time some of those kids maybe ever heard about Jesus, right? And how Jesus died. And I don't know what they took in. I really don't know. But I know there was probably seeds that were sowed there. And what a blessing it was when I got done with the service and Brother Eugene was closing in prayer. I went out there and to get off the conference call. Then I heard the little herd coming from upstairs, right? The kids that were coming up. What a blessing it was. See those young boys, little boys and little Mia coming up those stairs. Folks, can I tell you, let us never lose sight why God has kept us here. There is a great commission that he's telling us that we have a responsibility to telling others about Jesus Christ. Look at the Bible says over here to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry, did I say Luke? Acts. Acts chapter 1. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 1. I mean, Luke did write it, but that's a little stretch. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, look here at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Remember when we just read in Luke? This is similar to what he just said. And now he's adding on to a little bit more to clarify that Great Commission. So when you see the Great Commission, you'll find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It was a Great Commission that was given to the church. You'll find it in all the Gospels and the book of Acts. And here it is. He's given a little bit more insight. This Great Commission. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What he's saying, the Holy Spirit was going to fall on them. And ultimately, they were just going to preach. And, you know, his power was going to be upon them. He was already dwelling in them, because he was all in the book of John. So now it says this, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were wondering, you know, you just arose from the dead. Is this now when you're going to set up your kingdom? Is that what's going to happen? And the Bible says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they behold, he was taken up from a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here it is. We could see a little bit more of the Great Commission. What was he saying? Here it is. Our Lord ascended up. He told them to wait. And then at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, we know the preaching and we see the people that got saved. But he tells them, you're a witness. You're a witness. And I want you to be a witness to me. In verse 8, it says, you're a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. He was telling them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a witness in where you are today. And I want you to be a witness a little further out, Judea and Samaria. And matter of fact, I want you to be a witness. And you think about Samaria was those that the Jewish people would look down to. And he says, hey, I want you to reach them. And he says, matter of fact, I want you to reach not just the Israelites, the Jewish people, but I want you to reach the world. I want you to tell everyone. Allow everyone to hear about me. That is the great commission that was given to the apostles. And the apostles have passed it down through the years, almost 2,000 generations later. And to us as a local church, that great commission is to us. And you take that and apply it to us. What that means is God wants us to be a witness here in Augsburg. Do you ever think about the reason you're still here in Augsburg? God wants you to fulfill His purpose, to share the gospel with others, to be a witness. Jeremy, you can't save a single soul. You can't sing it. No one can save. God does the saving. But what God wants us to do is at least tell them. Tell them that they can be forgiven. What I was sharing this morning, you think about, there's so many religions of this world, but they don't have hope. They don't have forgiveness. They don't have what we have, a risen Savior. No one else has what we have, the true God of heaven, and a risen Savior. I mean, we have a risen Savior. We should be willing to testify, to witness to people that's in our community, in Augsburg, to share with them, hey, can we tell you what Jesus has done for us? How Jesus has changed my life. How my life was before and what God has done for me. We should not be ashamed of that. We should be willing to tell people, hey, I'm different now. I am a Christian. And explain to them what a Christian is. But then, if you think about it, as we apply it to our life, when you think about Judea and Samaria, that would be further out from Augsburg. And I think we're trying to do that, right? We're starting to send tracts out. We sent them out to Morristown recently, right? Morristown. We have some other areas that we're looking to do. And I'm praying, if it be the Lord's will, if it's God's desire for us to do it, I would love. You sent every household in St. Lawrence County, right? Wouldn't it be a blessing that we could send out a tract? Now, we would have to adjust the tract that we're sending out. And it would probably be a little hike to go down to the post office down into those areas. But wouldn't that be a blessing that we, as this little church in Augsburg, that can try to witness here in our Jerusalem, and then try to what? Witness in Judea and Samaria, which means further out in our county. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That people could hear the gospel? I don't know in our county, I'll have to look sometime, how many independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches there are. But I know one thing, I don't think there's too many. You know, I mean, I know there's one in Messina. I think there's one in Malone. I know there's one in Potsdam. But you think about it as thinking, I can't remember, right? Going in our county, I really don't know, right? Maybe we have an opportunity that we can say that's our Judea, that's our Samaria, and just try to send out the gospel to them. At least that way they can read it and look and say, you know what? That's what I need. And who knows if they contact me, they don't have a good church there. Try to help them to find a church, right? Be able to help. And maybe there's someone that's coming out of college looking for a place to open up a church and be able to say, hey, there's a town that's down here in St. Lawrence County that's looking for a church. Wouldn't that be a wonderful blessing? We should never lose focus of that Great Commission. Please don't misunderstand. I am thankful, and I think we should do projects in this church. I am thankful that we did those bathrooms, that hallway that's there. I'm thankful that we did that classroom downstairs. My wife and Miss Elma were freezing down there. I don't think you freeze anymore. It's nice down there. Matter of fact, if you go into that room, it's like, whoa, it's nice in here. Amen. Never thought you would say that of a basement, but it is. I mean, it's really looks nice in there. And I think we should continue. I'm looking forward to the project that we have in here, that if God allows, to be able to get this redone, drywall to look nice, get different lighting in here, make it a little bit brighter, and give Miss Elma this green carpet. Amen. I know she wants it. She can have it. Amen. Anyway, to get rid of this, wouldn't that be a blessing? And some other projects that we're looking to do, right? We're going to have to get rid of our pond that's out here. Something with our driveway. We'll probably have to get some fixing done there. And maybe downstairs to fix it up. And in the future, if God tarries, to be able to put like a building out there that has a nice, seating area where we could have a fellowship. Maybe put a little basketball hoop in there or you know what I mean, for the kids. There's nothing wrong with, but allow us never to lose focus. Never lose focus why God has us here. And that's that Great Commission. Because the truth is, if you think about it, if we keep God first and we keep continuing on doing what God wants us to do, God brings people in. Think how, I mean, we are a small church. In the standards of the eyes of the world, we are a small church. Wait, God has blessed and allowed us to be debt-free, to get things done, and we still have money in our bank. That we're able to do this project, and we'll still have money in the bank. I don't know how much this project will cost. It probably costs quite a bit. But anyway, still have money in the bank. But we haven't lost focus. And the other part is, he says, the othermost part of the world, that's missionaries. There is no way... Well, I could, I guess, but I'm not. God hasn't called me to go to India. God hasn't called me to go to Asia. God hasn't called me to go to China. God hasn't called me to go to different parts of the world, right? God hasn't called me. But there are men that God has called to go to those places. We should never lose focus of when we give our offerings, when you give your tithes is 10% of whatever you make. And an offering is above that, right? Whatever God puts on your heart. And any money that comes in, a penny, quarter, nickel, whatever, comes in as a to missions. We set aside and to goes to our missions, to try to support them. And you think about, we were able to help Brother James in Potsdam. He has a work over there. And we're a part of that. Brother Jeffcoat goes to India, other places, Peru. We have a part of that. And I'm hoping if the Lord tarries, that we continue to see money comes in, that God blesses you, and you just give back, right? And you give, and maybe we could find another missionary to support that goes to maybe, I don't know, Canada, or goes to Mexico, or wherever it would be. Goes to another part of United States. But allow us to never lose focus of that. Because people are dying and going to hell. So send I you. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, here's the other part of the Great Commission that was in the Gospels. In Matthew 28. Look here in Matthew 28, in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is one name, one God. And you see... Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great three in one. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's a great commission. There's a message of it. Tell them about Jesus. And after they get saved, There should be a willingness in the heart. They want to get baptized, follow in baptism. And then what? To be discipled. And when you see that, teaching them all things that I commanded you, everything that's in this book. That's why you think about Sunday school, and maybe more Wednesday evening. It's more in the teaching aspect. Why? The goal is to teach you. The goal is of Sunday school is, yes, to answer your questions and go through. But my goal is also to try to help you when you're reading your Bible, to study your Bible, to understand it. That way, when you go home, you can read it on your own, study it on your own, be able to learn from it, and you can grow. I enjoy Sunday school. I really do. I enjoy the questions, and I just enjoy it. But the goal is, it's a teaching. It's a teaching part of the ministry, trying to teach and to help you. But here it is. What he's saying is, we all should be a part of this. All of us are a part of this. If you're here and you're saved, you should ask yourself, Lord, what do you want me to do in this Great Commission? What's the part that you want me to do? Well, God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to tell people about Jesus Christ. Are we doing our part? The other day, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, Ariana and I went to Price Chopper, and we're at Price Chopper. We're getting some lunch meat, and she said, we were talking to the guy that's there. I talked to everyone. I even talked to people I think I know and I don't know. But so anyway, we were talking to the guy that was there, and she leans over to me, and she says, Dad, you know, I think you said he seems like a really nice guy, but, you know, do you have a tract? Do you give him a tract? And I looked at my coat, and I didn't have one. I feel embarrassed, right? I didn't have a tract on me that was in my coat, right? That should be our desire to tell people, right? Rachel was telling me, you know, someone that she ran into that saw something, I think a bumper sticker or some kind of sticker, and she's talking about she wanted to see him again or something, try and invite him to church. That should be our desire. Our desire should be a witness, telling people, right? We should not be ashamed to tell people, I got saved. If you don't want to tell someone you got saved, then you should really wonder, did you really get saved? It's just inside. I want people to know I got saved. Amen. Now, sometimes I get shy about it, or you know what I mean? And sometimes we may not speak up like we should, but we should at least want to tell people. I got the greatest thing in the world, and I want you to have what I have. Amen. The devil is the one that tries to get you not to share your testimony. You do know that, right? It's your flesh, but it's the devil. The devil will say, don't say anything. You know why? Because he knows your testimony can reach people. He doesn't want you to fulfill the Great Commission. So the devil's the one that's doing that. Your flesh is the one that's doing it. Now, sometimes we may not see people, right? We may, you know, maybe you don't get out too much. And it's hard to witness, right? Because if you don't see anyone, it's hard to witness. But you can pray. You can pray and say, Lord, you know, open a door for someone to come, you know, and I could share the gospel. Or open the door for visitors to come that could hear the gospel being preached. Pray. Look for opportunities. Amen. But you have to ask yourself, where am I in this part? Am I trying to help people? Trying to train them? You know, as I was saying about those kids, that was just a wonderful blessing to see those little kids. Amen. They must, what, six of them? Probably all under, all under seven or seven and under, right? Or eight and under. So what a blessing. These boys and girls need Jesus. Amen. But you think about in time, they're going to grow and get older. And we need someone to say, you know, I like to teach a class for those kids, the older ones. But you think about someone will have, that's going to be a sacrifice. You know, when you teach and become a teacher, become a helper, really it's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing your time. You're going to sacrifice your time that you have through the week to be able to study, to review things. You're going to have to be on guard. You think about it as a teacher, you should set an example. A teacher should set an example. A helper should set an example, right? We should be an example. But you think about it, God wants us to do that. What are we doing to try to share the gospel? He says, even so, send I you. Look what the Bible says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 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 Look what he says here, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, lowercase, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For he preached not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you see what God's saying? If you and I hide the gospel, who are we hiding it to? Those who need it. Devil has them blinded, thinking they're okay. I really believe, I do in my heart, what happened on Saturday, right? And I know those kids are just having a good time and they had some gifts and stuff that was there. But, you know, the gospel was shared, right? There was the seed that was sown. And I believe through there, I thought today may have been, someone's going to get saved out of that, you know? And it was surely a sacrifice. There was an investment. We put money into that. There was a lot of time that had to be done for that. What I'm saying is, we don't want to hide the gospel. We want to tell people. And then when that seed's sown, God will use it. I don't know how God does it, but He's God. Amen? He takes that seed that's sown, and He waters it. And next thing you know, we'll see the fruit. Every time we have sent out tracts, every time we have seen visitor that has come in. Now, sometimes it's a direct result, and sometimes it's others, right? Folks, can I tell you, isn't that a wonderful blessing? God is blessing. But allow us not to hide the gospel. I want you to see one other verse. I'm almost done for tonight. Look over here to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, look what he says here, and starting at verse 35 down to verse 38. In Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And look what he says here in verse 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, they send forth laborers into his harvest. He's not talking about grain, but he's talking about lost people. This world. At one time I looked at, I don't know what our population is, maybe still 10,000, 11,000 people in Augsburg. And I remember when I first came up here and looked at the percentage of people that were, you know, that you can look at and say, that are associated with a certain church, you may say, they may be saved. But can I tell you, it isn't a large number in this city. I can only imagine when you think about this county, it's probably, surely not a large number. The harvest, I mean, there's a lot. But the laborers are few. You think about people that are wanting, you know, think about men that are surrendering to start churches to be missionaries. The laborers are few. There's men to get all excited and say, yes, I'm going to be a missionary and do something. And what is it? They start a church or whatever, and a short period of time later, it had been better off for them not to start the church than cause the problems of starting and quitting, right? You know what? But I can tell you it's hard. It's hard. The persecution, the mocking, you know, the different things that you get, you know, the devil trying to hinder, you know, trying to get you to stop and quit. Financial problems that could come up in churches, you know, members getting mad at each other. I mean, there's some times where, trust me, I was sitting there, I was like, Lord, maybe I'm just not doing my part. I'm just not doing what you want me to do. You know, it's the devil that will, you know, get you or whatever. But the reality is the laborers are few. We need to pray. God sends laborers. We need to pray God sends laborers to this church. The reality is we have enough people here that we can do some wonderful things. We could have different classes, but the laborers are few. That means people are going to have to be willing to say, I'll do that. I'll be willing to sacrifice. Because you have to stay focused on that Great Commission. And if you're not willing to do it, at least pray that God will send a laborer. But I could tell you this, if you really pray that God will send laborers, don't be surprised, Jeremy, He makes you a laborer. Amen? He'll put that burden that's in your heart, which is good, right? But you pray. Here it is, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that will send forth laborers into his service. You know, maybe you're to the place and you can't. Maybe there's some physical problems that you can, or maybe you're up in the years and you just can't do it anymore. Well, you can pray. Pray that God will send some laborers. That we would see people continue to come, continue to grow, new classes started, new ministries started. Well, you've also prayed, wouldn't it be a blessing to see new churches that's in our county get started? You know what we need in New York? We need Jesus. Yeah. A revival is for those that are saved, and we do need a revival for those that are saved, that we get back to preaching God's Word and following God's Word. But we need people to get saved. I mean, there are so many lost people in this state. I mean, this state needs Jesus. And we need to do our part. We need to do our part to try to reach our community, to reach our Judea, Samaria, the othermost part of the world. We need to do our part. And if we do our part, what we have seen, even like what God said to that church of Philadelphia, you have little strength, but I have opened a door and no one can shut. That's what God has done for this church here. For I don't know how many years it's been now. 16, coming up on 17 years. In 17 years, we have seen people saved. We're seeing, you know, growth. And can I tell you, there's been people that say, that church won't last. It won't go. Miss Elma, I know you one time were wondering, is he going to leave? You know? Can I tell you, God is doing a work. And it's not me. It's Him. God is then using you. Thou is never lose focus. They were, you know, they got glad when they saw Him that was there. There was some joy that was there. That first day, you know, He's alive and well. What a blessing it was. Ladies grabbed Him by His feet and worshiped Him. And He tells them that evening, even so send I you. Can I tell you, that is something God is telling you. Even so send I you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach, and I pray that this message is help and encouragement. Help us with our walk with you, and help us to be faithful to you. Help us to do our part, and I just pray for your protection over us. Help us as we travel home to be safe, and help us to be that witness for you this week. We ask in Jesus, your precious name.